You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more.
You expect improvement as a fan, and then, you know, look at Saturday night's game. Was there any improvement or anything that could be a positive for an Elks fan and for the team themselves as they look at that second beating by that Lions club?
Well, we know if nothing else, this show is much improved, right? With you in charge, you're going to take control.
Unfortunately, I don't play football.
Yeah. There you go. Connor throws a mean tight spiral, I heard. So, you know, there's a chance there.
He does.
Yeah, you know, it was surprising, right? And I say that because I think this is a better Elks team than the one that was opened the season, right? And they had gone 2-2 in their last four. We saw something with Taylor Cornelius that was better than anything we'd seen from him the previous year. You know, I know that people are talking about just how much turnover there's been, right? And I'm not the least bit surprised because that's Chris Jones' MO, but this time around, all that turnover, most of it was because they were getting good players or injured players back. So it was positive change as opposed to, you know, reactive change. And you had 2 weeks to prepare, right? So, yeah, I expected BC to win, but I expected a much more competitive game. But sometimes you get into those things where one team matches up so well against another. And also, if it doesn't go right early, it's real easy to fall back into some old habits and old traps. And once BC got their third score, I just had real concerns about Edmonton's ability to keep pace in that game because, you know, they stopped him twice early, fumbled the ball back to BC both times, and you know, you don't have a lot of margins for error when you're the Elks playing against a team that did take you down so easily one time. So I'm surprised again. I mean, I'm not surprised BC won, like I said, but just that it got one-sided and got away from them so quickly did shock me a bit.
Farhan, I think we got to give a lot of credit to Nathan Rourke. Anytime you have more touchdown passes than incomplete passes, obviously you're doing something right. And with what he's been able to do this year, has there been any aspect of his game that surprised you?
Yes and no, right? I mean, there's certain things you have to see. Like, you might have thought it was in him, but you needed to see it. And I think for me, I knew his arm had improved because I know where his training was coming from. I think just his ability to process everything as fast as he's done it and everything, right? So when you look at Chris Jones' first game, we all expected Chris Jones was going to dial up a ton of pressure and play press man and do all of this stuff against them. He didn't do any of it, right? It was bringing three, bringing four, trying to play coverage, and he picked him apart. So in this game, the game plan was heavy press man, heavy pressure. And when they got into pass looks, they did that. And very quickly, Nathan started doing, you know, he picked that apart. And he did that against Ottawa earlier this season. And, you know, so his ability to process, to find the matchups, to do it immediately, you know, again, I thought that he could get to that in year two or three of his career. For it to have occurred week one and to have continued through nine games has been really, really impressive.
Let's take a look at some other games, joined by Farhan Lalji here. We'll go out to Winnipeg and Montreal. I know Winnipeg got down just a little bit, but then they kind of came back quite quickly. You know, this team is absolutely on fire. Are there holes on this team that you think maybe someone can expose further down the road?
Well, I mean, you know, I thought at the start of the year that they'd have some holes in the receiving core, and I thought they'd have some holes in the secondary. And the holes in the receiving core were mostly because we didn't know how good Dalton Schoen was, right? Because he was a rookie, and he's showing week after week, much like Nathan Rourke is, that, yeah, don't worry about me, I got this, right? And he has got a fairly extensive route tree. He can do a lot of different things with success, and he's got underrated speed, and he can go win the contested ball, so he's doing a lot of good things there. Greg Ellingson's obviously fit in really well. So, you know, it's allowed the run game to tread water a little bit, right? Because when you look at, you know, Brady Oliveira and Johnny Augustine, they flashed here and there, but it took a while for them to have the performance that Oliveira did in the last game. And then in the secondary, you know, there was a lot of change there. And early on, you know, Winston Rose was playing hurt and things like that. And I thought they could get exposed, but their front seven has been so good that those guys in the back end don't have to cover that long, right? And so they've been able to be helped by that as well. So they're playing really good complementary football. And the biggest thing for them is they just generally don't make mistakes, right? They just play, and they don't take a lot of penalties. They don't turn the ball over a lot. If they do turn the ball over a lot, because Caleros has had a few interception, you know, one or two interception games, their defense immediately gets it back, and they don't give up a lot of points off turnovers. So it's a team that's working really well together right now, and they've got that belief because there's been so many games. And you talk about this pass game, they don't have to play for that long, right? I mean, they showed up in the fourth quarter, and bam, the game ended, right? And that's happened in more than half their games where they've just kind of been asleep at the switch, and bam, here it comes, and they play, right? And I don't see a path to victory for Montreal in Winnipeg this week before the Bombers head into the bye.
Joined by Farhan Lalji of TSN, looking around the CFL. Friday night, it was the Stampeders victorious over the Ottawa Redblacks. Bo Levi Mitchell, not his best game, but the defense for the Stamps certainly showed up. Farhan, when you look in the Western Conference, outside of Winnipeg, BC, Calgary, I know right now BC is higher in the standings. Calgary's only two losses on the year coming to the Blue Bombers. Do you have a favorite between those two teams who you think will finish in second?
It's a good question, and you know we're going to see it this Friday night. And like, I really, really like BC's receiving core, right? And I think offensively, BC is better right now. Bo Levi is a great player, but we've seen in a number of these games where they've just kind of puttered along offensively, including in the last game. And you know, like Kamar Jordan, 2 catches on 10 targets, and you know, I like at the beginning of the year, you had. Malik Henry, who was just all of a sudden just ripping it up and such a great complimentary piece to Jordan and Bagleton, you know, and Bagleton, you know, his first full season back after spending that time in the NFL. You know, I thought that their big three was going to be so good, but just overall, there's been an inconsistency to their offense. So we'll see what happens. You know, BC struggled defending the run against Winnipeg. If they struggle again in that area, it'll allow Calgary to kind of to hang in there. And, you know, Brent Monson's one of the best young defensive coordinators in the league, right? And I think he can dial a few things up that may cause some problems for BC's O-line. We'll see. But again, Rourke's been able to figure it out pretty quickly. So, you know, when I look at their process, I just think BC's offense is better. But again, Calgary's defense might be better. So we'll see what it looks like this week. But and I honestly think both of these teams are capable of knocking off Winnipeg. And when I say capable, I'm not saying they're better than Winnipeg, but I'm saying if they play in a 3-game series, each of those teams can win one. They're capable. Calgary was close in both games. They showed they were capable. And BC, as poorly as they played, which Winnipeg had a lot to do with, Nathan Rourke still had his plays against Winnipeg. He still had 4 big deep shots down the field and did a few other good things. So I think both those teams are capable of winning. But the one thing we do know is Winnipeg will always play their best when they need to. And but as far as the matchup between BC and Calgary, you know, I talked to Nathan about it after the last game, that he just views it as a chess match between himself and the other defensive coordinator. And he had so much respect for Chris Jones, and he feels the same way about Brett Monson. So I'm curious to see what that cat and mouse game looks like.
You know, looking at the Eastern Conference, there's not a lot of wins out of that group, but Toronto seems to be running away with a 4-3 record. Is there another team that can catch them, either Hamilton or Montreal?
I think all of them can if they get out of their own way. Like, I'm just not an Argo believer, right? Like, just get out of your own way. And these teams do that repeatedly, right? I mean, you know, you look at Hamilton, they've just been perpetually bad in the fourth quarters, and it's in their heads. And for them to give up a block punt TD and a pick six, right? You know, like, Dane Evans wasn't great in that game, but at least he was protecting the ball until the most important time, right? Like, get out of your own damn way. And we've seen this with, whether it's Darvin Adams dropping a touchdown pass to tie the game against Montreal, or, you know, Montreal taking a number of penalties at the wrong time in the game. Like, I think any of those teams can beat Toronto and catch them because they're not running away in the standings. But, wow, like, that's, you know, like, all four of those teams are the antithesis of Winnipeg, right? Like, Winnipeg never gets in their own way. And these four teams, they're talented enough, but they perpetually get in their own way. So, yeah, we'll see. But I think Hamilton is good enough. I think, you know, I think everything about Ottawa is good enough except their quarterback play, right? And I've been picking them a lot, and I've been getting egg on my face every week, so I got to stop picking them. Benavides and Lapo are going to hate me for it, but like, the quarterback play just simply isn't good enough there, whereas the rest of their talent is. But, you know, I think Hamilton can, because it's not like Toronto's quarterback play is epic, you know, over a 60-minute game either, but they're just good enough at the right time, right? So, I don't know. Like, I was bullish on the East at the start of the year, like many, and we all look stupid.
One last one as we switch over to hockey. You know, obviously JT Miller, I think, he's been rumored to be traded for quite some time. He's still a Canuck, no extension in place. What's more likely for you to happen, you think, Farhan? An extension for JT or a ticket to another city?
I think the most likely scenario right now is that he plays out the season. You know, and I hate to say it, right? But and you look at certain guys that have priced themselves out of the market, right? You know, Kadri being a comparable, but there's guys that have been available. You know, Klingberg had to wait, and it's a weird situation because it was only supposed to affect the middle class, and it's affecting high end players like Kadri and Miller as well, right? Mm-hmm. So, in the case of JT Miller, you know, from the moment the draft it happened and it came and went, and they couldn't get the deal done there, and then free agency started and they couldn't get the deal done there. Now there's no pressure point, right, that would encourage the deal to get done because everybody's capped out. So I don't think he's going to settle, right? Like, unless he comes in at 7.5 times 6, like, I just don't know that there's a path forward there. You know, and the team has said as much, and they're willing to go forward with it. But I think it's a dangerous game because they've improved in some areas that this is a team that I think could compete for a playoff spot. And I think you're going to get to the trade deadline and they're going to be within 2 points of the playoff bar in either direction. Then what do you do? Right? That's the dangerous piece right there. I think they're comfortable, and it'd be easy if you were absolutely in or absolutely out. And it's so hard for fans to look at cap space as asset, right? Because as soon as he plays the season and plays it all the way through and you get nothing for him, everyone's going to say, well, you blew the asset, which on some levels you did, but you now do have that money to spend, right? So you can look at it differently. But, I just don't know that there's a path to an extension or a trade right now because they don't want to, you know, they don't want to settle. So you're going to get to the trade deadline and you're going to have to make a really, really tough decision. And until now, ownership has let this management group make its own decisions. And if that happens and the owner sees playoff home dates, boy, he's going to tell them, do not trade that guy.
It's tough. It's tough. The cap is really messing with people. Hopefully someday we get a nice jump in that in the next couple of years. Farhan, thanks a lot for this information. We'll talk to you again soon, my man.
All right. Anytime. Keep Greg's out of there, okay?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's my job. Just taking over. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
See you guys.